So just a disclaimer before we get started, I just want to put it out there. This story is very disturbing on many levels and contains quite a bit of mention of sexual assault. So if that is not something that you're comfortable with or something that triggers you, please feel free to skip this episode. Thank you.
Hey guys, join us every week for a new conundrum from murder, mystery, or even supernatural occurrences. We're your hosts, Leanza,
Raquel,
Natalia,
and we'll turn you over to Raquel to make our drink for the day.
Nala's drink of the week is actually a conundrum bar creation. It is called a By Felicia, and you'll figure out why here in just a moment. Like we always do, a whole lime.
If you couldn't tell, we really like limes.
Nah.
Can I have a hello, Felicia?
Yeah, and it, I don't know, you might like it.
I like the not tasting.
You might not.
I'll call that one a hello, Felicia, and you guys have the goodbye, Felicia.
Yeah, that's why yours only have half the alcohol.
Mm. It'll be fine. It has so much lime in it, you can't taste it anyway.
True.
I feel like this is like a last words type of situation.
We promise they're not bad influences. Well, if you guys wanted like forearm workout.
Yes. I don't know why the limes have been particularly humongous from Sam's, but I'm not complaining.
You feel like you need a workout before you drink? Just buy some limes.
So the next step is 4 shots of strawberry rum. Really good. And if you follow along and try our drinks, you'll figure out why it's called a By Felicia.
Let's just say this is definitely one of our drinks that we do not recommend more than once.
Yes, it is called a By Felicia for a reason, because it has a lot more shots in it. And you can't taste it.
Finally, to top off the drink, add orange juice.
It's actually very good. Before I go home.
Alrighty, and there you have it, the By Felicia.
So today we're gonna be taking a trip to Germany, the hunting ground of the Ruhr cannibal. We're gonna be following a disturbing story of wrongful arrest, suicide, murder, and cannibalism that took place over the span of 20 years.
I'm already thinking of the wrongful arrest part. Like, who would want to imagine getting arrested and you're not the one that's even a cannibal?
Yeah, so this story is pretty interesting. There are quite a few victims, but the MO of this particular killer is very similar to each victim, like in each victim, so I'm not going to really cover each victim in detail. Ruhr, where I mentioned, because he's the Ruhr cannibal, Ruhr was the region where it took place, and Duisburg is the city where it kind of was more centralized, where the attacks were happening. So the Ruhr region had about 50 industrial cities within it. So it was often called the Iron Triangle. It was a very harsh environment due to the pollution from all the industrial area around it. Born in 1933. So Joachim Kroll was born in 1933. He grew up during the start of World War II. And being the youngest of 8 kids, he was considered, quote, the weak one, unquote, by like the rest of his family.
I could understand that if you're a dog, like, of course all dogs think the youngest is the weak one, but a human?
Yeah. So needless to say, he didn't have the best childhood. He was a bedwetter as a child, and he sexually abused animals. Yeah, I did not look into that because we're not going there. And well, we can't be sure. It's probably a safe bet that the constant humiliation and the unstable environment from his childhood had a contribution to his acts later in life, and he actually demonstrated some of the qualities of the McDonald Triad or the Homicidal Triad, which, if you guys out there don't know, the McDonald Triad is the basis that children with killer tendencies can be predicted if they exhibit any combination or all three of the following tendencies, which is bedwetting, fire setting, and animal cruelty. So if you'd like to know more about that or read about that, we will have an article linked that goes into an explanation about the McDonald Triad. But I figured I'd throw that in there.
I feel like I knew what all that was, but I didn't know it had like a saying to it.
Yeah, there's like a lot of there's professionals that do believe that you can use it to predict future killers. And then there's a lot of people that say, well, you can't really use that because you don't know how someone's going to grow up. But the Kroll family lived in extreme poverty. And his father served as a soldier in the German army. And it is believed that he was taken as a prisoner of war and likely killed by the Russian army.
Was he one of the Russians to experiment prisoners of war?
It's possible.
Sorry. Just trying to tie our stories together, maybe.
Hey, you never know. It's possible. Yochim, growing up, had to repeat grades multiple times. He dropped out of school at the age of 15. And according to one of the sources, Kroll didn't know how to read. I read a few references that state that he had an IQ of 76 or 78, which is right in the borderline mental retardation category, which is generally an IQ of 70 to 85 is that category. So he was like right in the middle of it. But that's just alleged. I don't know if he really was. Because as we go into it, you guys will see I don't think he was.
If you're able to be unfound for 20 years, you have to have some...
Right? So maybe he was, like, trying to play it down low so people wouldn't suspect him, maybe?
Possibly. Or, I mean, he might have had, like, some sort of delay early on because this was still when he was younger. So You never know. So after dropping out of school, Kroll started working as a farmhand. And he stated that working as the farmhand is what inspired his murderous fantasy. He says that it started while watching a pig being slaughtered, and it, quote, awakened his sex drive, unquote.
Couldn't he have just stuck at that farm instead of moving on to people? Not saying anything, like, good about him being into that, but it's better than murdering people.
I'm guessing the pigs became unattractive to according to Kroll, and I'm saying according to him because they extensively interviewed him after he was captured. So, according to him, he did attempt romantic relationships with women, but he said he felt awkward, inadequate, and a failure. And somehow this made him think that he should try with, quote, someone who could not complain about his performance, unquote.
I just don't understand. Never mind.
So this one, I don't know how to describe the story. It's disturbing. Like, it's just a disturbing story, guys. So if that's not your thing, I suggest just skip this one. So Kroll was known as Kroll, quote, Uncle Kroll by the neighborhood children later in life. And apparently it was common for the children to go to his house and play, and he'd give them candy. And the parents did not see him as a threat, apparently. They were comfortable with their kids going over and playing with him and being alone with him. And
him not having kids or nieces or nephews that came over, nothing.
I'm sorry, I wouldn't be comfortable with my kids even with, like, close family. Like, I don't know. That's just how the world is nowadays, though. How long ago was this story?
This was in the 1950s. Sorry.
Maybe it wasn't as, like, well-known.
Yeah. I would still think, like, as a parent, you have that instinct even back then, but...
I know, like, I freak out when the neighbor kids come to my house alone, and because I don't have kids, and it freaks me out. I'm like,
you can go now. Yeah.
It just is... I don't want No. Because bad thoughts and to come up.
You could think anything nowadays. It's just scary.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. And this is the perfect example of why you don't let your kids out of your sight. In 1955, Kroll's mother died. And later that same year is when he killed his first victim. So in my opinion, I think his mother's death was like his trigger, what caused him to start killing. On February 8th, 1955, Kroll killed his first victim in Wallstedt, Germany. Feel free to correct any of my pronunciations because I don't speak German. So. She was 19-year-old Irmgard Strahl. Irmgard Strahl. She was described as an attractive blonde, and that day she was wearing an all-green outfit with the coat, shawl, and a bookcase, which I'm guessing they mean like a briefcase, maybe? Reportedly, Kroll met her on the road and convinced her to go on a walk with him. He tried to kiss her, but she resisted, and he proceeded to stab her 4 times in the neck. And then strangled and sexually assaulted her.
All I gotta say is this guy's gotta be like charming.
Yeah, charismatic. Is that how you say it?
Charismatic or something.
So.
To be able to get people to trust him with all their kids and this lady to go walk with him.
I think I need to show you guys a picture of him. And point out the fact that he was 5'2". Like he's shorter than me. So maybe people didn't see him as a threat. But anyways.
That's what he looked like.
Is that his...
That's what he looked like then? He wasn't younger or nothing?
No.
Like,
he had a receding hairline. Partially balding for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would still be like, no, I'm fine. I'll walk by myself.
She probably still would have gotten stabbed, though.
Probably.
Not trying to be mean, I'm just saying, like...
No, he probably would have taken that as rejection, too. And so, after he stabbed her and strangled her and assaulted her, he then slashed her stomach open. And the detectives, after they found her, found no defense wounds. So we assume that she was already dead when he assaulted her. And... She was found 5 days later, although a different source that I read said she was found the same day, so there's like a discrepancy there. So, she was found with semen on her abdomen, in her pubic hair, and there was so much semen on her that police believed that it was a group that attacked her.
Comments.
This is definitely one of those stories that's just like, I don't know what to say on it, but. So, Kroll claimed that he did not kill again for 4 years after his first victim. However, the body of Erika Schuder was found in 1956, which is the following year. She was a 12-year-old little girl when she was strangled and sexually assaulted, but due to lack of evidence, he was never charged for her murder.
But she wasn't cut open or anything like...
Not that I could find, it just said that she was strangled. Which, on these first few victims, you'll see a change in his MO, and then it'll kind of like solidify into his actual MO. So I think that first one is like a real experimentation. Then, on June 16th, 1959, allegedly after his 4-year dormant period, 24-year-old Clara Frieda Tesmer was found. Kroll stated that he grabbed her arm, and when she resisted, he hit her on the head. A struggle then ensued, and during the struggle, he strangled her. Her naked body was found by 5 boys riding their bikes, and apparently Kroll removed pieces of her buttocks and her thighs and wrapped the pieces in a piece of fabric torn from her dress. So, yeah.
Did he take them with him or did he just leave them by the body?
No, he took them. This is all according to him, like his memory of what happened. A man by the name of Gunter was the last person seen with her, and he was arrested after failing to provide an alibi, and 6 months later, he was proven innocent, but wouldn't be released from prison until April of 1960.
So how many years later?
So she was killed in June of 1959, so it was about a year later.
That kind of sucks for him, though, too, because imagine going home and people already have that suspicion of you in their mind.
Yes. So, actually, according to another source that I read, another man named Heinrich was arrested for her murder as well after police suspected him of another sex-related crime that had happened leading up to the time of her murder, like in that same time span. And he hung himself in his cell while awaiting trial. So that's two so far, if we're keeping track, which I suggest we keep track. So during this time, Kroll had started working as a toilet attendant in 1960 when he moved to Duisburg. He later started working for Thyssen Industries, which was an engineering and steel production company, but I believe, if I remember correctly, he was still working as, like, maintenance or, like, a janitor. So that was basically what he did during this entire time. This is really good, by the way. 1 month after the murder of Clara, on July 26th, 1959, 16-year-old Manuela Knott was found naked in some bushes. She was found strangled and sexually assaulted. There were no bruises or cuts on the genital area, but they did find semen on her pubic area, face, and hair. And she was found with slices of her buttocks and her thighs missing. On February 13th, 1960, a man named Horst Otto falsely confessed to Manuela's murder. He later retracted his confession, but he was arrested and in March 1961 convicted to 8 years in prison. Later, on November 28th of 1962, his sentence was reduced to 6 years. He served 5 years and was released on April 12th of 1965. But, like, my big question here is that, sure, it was a false confession, right? He didn't do it. But suppose that he actually did kill her. The sentencing was 8 years.
That's insane.
Well, it was back in the 1950s. I bet you that was a heavy... Because you think of now they get, like
the life.
Yeah. Was that Stainer case that we watched, and now he was able to make it to where child molesters get longer in prison? So it's like always like something like has to happen before they,
and it is more foreign.
Yeah,
like they might have different policies or outlooks on different things, but it's that's pretty insane.
I still think that's insane
because I know in some places they don't have they don't sentence like to death at some places. Like, is it in Canada, like they just do maximum life?
I think that's insane still, like, especially for the way that he was killing and stuff. But, so, on September 3rd, 1962, he strangled and sexually assaulted 12-year-old Barbara Bruder. He states that she was on her way to a playground and had taken a shortcut through the woods where he was waiting for her.
Does that mean he was watching her?
Yes.
If he knew her schedule?
So I don't know if he was, like, watching her for, like, a period of days, but I guess it was, like, common for people to cut through those particular woods.
And so you're just looking for the weakest victim to pick off.
Probably. And, like, one thing I noticed as I was doing this is that, like, his victims just keep getting younger and younger. Like, there's a few, like, strays, but... So for Barbara, he, again, was not charged for the murder, and although he confessed to it, they couldn't charge him because her body was never found. On April 23rd of 1962, in some bushes, the body of 13-year-old Petra Geese was found. She was strangled with her scarf. Her red dress was torn off. She was sexually assaulted and had both buttocks, left forearm, and her hand cut off. Vincence, a man named Vincence, became a suspect after a farmer claimed to have seen a vehicle similar to his on the day of the murder near where the body was found. He drove a Gogo Azar, which, if you guys don't know, it's like the car that Mr. Bean drives. I'm going to pull up the car right now because I can see why it's like a very noticeable car.
Okay.
So Vincence failed to provide an alibi. And he also had a record of child molestation. His method in particular was to offer candy or money to girls in the park. So he became a suspect. And he was later sentenced to 12 years and psychiatric treatment and was released after 6 years.
Still not long enough.
Still not long enough, but if you're keeping track, we're up to 3 now. And three guys that have been arrested and charged.
I don't know if this has been looked, if you looked it up or if it's coming later. Do we know when, like, semen DNA can be compared with somebody else? Like, I feel like this could clear up a lot of issues of them not being able to figure out, like, I don't know, different country, different things, but I feel like we're in the late 60s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It says 1986 was when DNA was first used in a criminal investigation.
But I know, like, even, like, old cases, they still keep the, like, yeah. They're still being able to preserve DNA and things like that. Like, I feel like they could confirm these nowadays, if the evidence was still
preserved.
Probably,
yeah.
I also have a question, like, do they have, like, a list of, like, people of interest? Is the main guy, is he even on their list of suspects?
Up until this point, no. He is nowhere in their radar, anything. On June 11th of 1962, police found the body of Monica Tapple, who was killed a week prior on June 4th of 1962. According to Kroll, he saw her while on her way to school, where he dragged her into a field, strangled and sexually assaulted her. He masturbated over her body and cut pieces from her buttocks and her thighs. A man named Walter Q was arrested due to interviews with witnesses, which had placed him with a young girl around that time. He stated that he had always wanted a daughter, and that's why he gave so much attention to the younger girls of the neighborhood. After multiple interviews with local girls, all of them denied any inappropriate behavior from Walter. He was let go due to lack of evidence, but his neighbors continued to persecute him. So much so that his wife divorced him, local businesses refused him service, and on October 5th of 1962, he hung himself from a tree in the forest just outside of town.
That's what I was saying earlier. It's got to suck for these people that are wrongly, like, accused. Like, all your family, all your neighbors knowing, like, and wondering.
Yeah, exactly. So, this took place in Walsum, Germany. And each one of these was, like, in a different town. So, from what I could note, it says that the local authorities in Walsum were not in contact with the Duisburg police. So it's a possibility that that's why they didn't connect these cases sooner, because they didn't reach out to other police to say, hey, have you had anything like this happen? Or it could be multiple.
Today in these times too, it's like they found like serial killers and they find them like way later than they can because no one wants to share information on cases.
So I think a lot of what happened on this one was that he was doing it in a different city. So it was like one off on each city. So the police probably didn't think, oh, this happened more than once. So I have a map here that's like numbered with each victim, like victim number 1, 2, all the different places that it happened. So he was traveling quite a bit.
Dang. Did you know what did he do for a job again? What was he was like a janitor?
Oh, maintenance?
Would that require him to travel ever? Like,
no. This was on his own free time.
And so he mostly had this, other than like you stating his different jobs, he pretty much stayed pretty consistent, had the same employer?
Yes.
As far as I could tell, yes, he was pretty consistent on his job. He'd literally take the train. From June 11th, which was this last kill, there was a 3-year gap where there was no reported murders, no bodies found. So I don't know if he was dormant for those 3 years or what happened. But on August 22nd of 1965, Herman Schmitz was killed, which was the first and only male victim. It was kind of an accident. Like, he wasn't intended to be his victim. Like, he was, but he wasn't. He wasn't the target.
Explain the story. Yeah. So maybe he just got in the way, or...
So, it was like an elaborate little scheme of Kroll's, is the best way I can put it. But let me explain. So, Kroll spotted Herman and his... In some articles, it says girlfriend. In others, it says fiancé. So, I'm just going to say his significant other were getting heated in their Volkswagen, their car, at the local Lover's Lane. So, they, like, went and parked at the Lover's Lane and were doing their thing, I guess. Kroll proceeded to slash the front tire of the car. And then when Herman got out to investigate, he stabbed him twice in the heart, where he died immediately. Herman's girlfriend jumped into the driver's seat and honked the horn like crazy, like insanely, to try and scare him off. She then drove the car directly at Kroll. Like,
I was going to say, what I would have done first instead of, no warning.
Yes. So it says he barely managed to escape, like, barely, and because they didn't know that Marion, the girlfriend, was the actual target, police believe that it was a jealous ex that killed Herman, and after many interviews with friends and families, the case went cold.
She couldn't confirm or deny if he was an ex-lover of hers or something? They just...
So, according to what I read, it was dark, their lights were off, so she couldn't make out who it was. And the craziest part is that one of the articles that I read says that a bunch of other people that were nearby came running over when they heard the commotion, and not a single person saw him.
And also probably not suspecting a 5'2 person running away to be a suspect, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. I was pretty accurate with my description. He was the victim, but not the actual target. Hold on, let me get a drink of while we're here. So then, on the evening of September 13th, 1966, Kroll took a train to Marl, Germany, about 40 miles north, and killed 20-year-old Ursula Rowling. She was found 2 days later in some bushes by a park employee. She was naked from the waist down. Her legs were spread out from what they could connect. Ursula had spent about an hour and a half with her boyfriend / fiance, I'm not too sure again, adult. Then after that, she started making her way home through the park. Kroll later said, and this is a quote from him, quote, "I saw this woman in the park. She was young with short hair. I spoke to her and then grabbed her around the neck with my right arm. I dragged her into the bushes and threw her on the ground. I choked her until she stopped moving. Then I took off her pants and her other things and I did it to her. I left her lying there and took the train back to Duisburg. When I got home, I was still hot and I had it with a doll and then did it with my hand a couple of times." Unquote.
What I gotta say is that he seems to remember every single, like, murder that he's done, like, in specific, like, detail, like...
Oh, yeah. He remembers them specifically. He couldn't remember any of their names, but he remembers who they were. He
didn't have time to really get their names, I guess, technically, except maybe the first lady who he conned into taking a walk with him.
Yeah, eventually he just skipped the whole even trying and just went straight to attacking him. Her boyfriend was arrested and questioned for weeks. Although there was no obvious motive, the police theorized that Ursula had refused to have sex with him until marriage, and so he raped and killed her. Police ignored the fact that it was determined that she was sexually assaulted after being killed, and that her friends had confirmed that her and Adolf were already sexually active, so that kind of blew their theory out of the water. They later released him, but he was chased out of town by the community, and on January 4th, 1967, he took his own life by drowning. So that's 2 suicides so far because of him. So I don't know if you guys caught that, but after attacking his victims, Kroll would go home and pleasure himself with an inflatable doll. It was a doll, and it's also stated that while doing so, he would be choking a child's doll. Yeah. So I don't mean to get graphic on this. I'm just trying to like show you guys like how deprived he was. Cause
I have a question. Did it ever say anything about his parents? Like, well, his dad was already missing.
Yes, his dad was missing,
but his mom died. Before his mom was his what kind of made him start. Yeah. It was his stressor.
But other than that, like, there's not really a lot of background to it. And it was kind of hard to research this case, I'm just going to say, because a lot of the articles were in German, which then I had to, translate into English and try to put it together. So take it lightly. I don't guarantee all of my translations. A few months later, on December 22nd, 1966, Kroll kidnapped 5-year-old Ilona Hark. He had taken her from a town called Essen to a town about 30 minutes away called Wuppertal. And from there, they boarded a train and got off somewhere in a wooded area. He then proceeded to strangle, sexually assault, and drown her because he, quote, wanted to see how someone drowned, unquote. He also apparently cut off several pounds of meat from her shoulders and buttocks. I feel like I'm deeply disturbing Leanza with. On June 22nd, 1967, Kroll lured 10-year-old Gabrielle Putman into a meadow. He allegedly attempted to show her pornographic images, but Gabrielle tried to run away, and Kroll started to choke her. He caught her and choked her. Luckily, a nearby coal mine had just changed shift, and all of the workers were leaving. So the area became flooded with workers on their way home. Kroll, again, was able to escape without anyone noticing him. But he didn't notice that Gabrielle was still alive. She went home, told her parents, and they did not report the attack until 9 years later after Kroll's arrest. So they didn't come forward with it until after he had been arrested.
But just all I gotta say is that messes your child up too when you don't, like, it's like not validating what they went through, like that they can get through it, like, ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. I had the same question. Why? Why?
Did you look into the girl? Was she still alive?
No, I did not look into her. Okay. I usually try to leave any surviving people in peace, not try to dig into their privacy.
No, I was just trying to check if she was still,
I don't know. That was 1967, so she'd be pretty old. According to True Crime 7, which is one of the sources, she had actually known Kroll and was comfortable around him. And it wasn't until that he showed her the pictures that she tried to run away. According to them, he also didn't chase or choke her. And it states that because of her embarrassment, she never told anyone until many years except for her parents. So that one's conflicting. So I'm not too sure which one's true on that one. Fast forward to July 12th of 1969, which is 2 years. 2 years until the next one. Kroll encountered 61-year-old Maria Hetken along the banks of the Baldini Lake. He said he got a, quote, tingling feeling all over, unquote, when he saw her. When she declined his advances, he hit her, which caused them to fall into some bushes, where he proceeded to sexually assault her and choke her to death.
Do you have a picture? Pictures of the victims?
Yeah, so Maria, I was going to say, and also the only victim that's like way out of his preferred age range, because all the other ones were like between like 20 and way, way younger. So, I don't know. It was just, I guess, something about her, because like he said, he got a tingling feeling. Maria wasn't found until the following day. And after that, Kroll stayed dormant for 9 months. So he has, like, quite a bit of cooling off periods in between his victims. Don't know why, but he did.
Maybe that's why it took them so long to catch him.
Yeah, so it's very possible that they could have had such a hard time connecting him because of his long, like, periods of inactivity.
Yeah, they seem to get shorter and shorter as we go along.
Yeah, because it went from, like, 4 years and then 3 years and then 2 years and now down to 9 months. So after this little cooling off period, on May 21st of 1970, he strangled 13-year-old Jetta Ron. There wasn't a lot of information about her death, but it's speculated that he had seen her on a train and followed her on her way home. Later on June 9th, Peter S., I just initialed their last names, Jetta's neighbor, was arrested and served 15 months in prison before being released due to lack of evidence. And according to another article that I had read, they had mentioned that Peter and Jetta were in a relationship, like her neighbor and her. I don't know how true that is, so take that with a grain of salt, but that's one of the things that I read. The next victim attributed to Kroll was 6 years later. On May 8th of 1976, he strangled and sexually assaulted 10-year-old Karen Topfer. Again, he was not charged with her murder due to lack of evidence. The police had 15 unsolved sex crimes during that time that they believed Kroll was responsible for, although he was adamant that he was clean those 6 years. Mm-hmm.
He usually kills them. Were those sex crimes, were they victims that were alive, or?
It didn't say, it just said sex crimes. So I don't know if it meant like flashing, like, or something related to that, like harassment or anything. Mm-hmm. But they just said sex crimes that they attributed to him but couldn't prove, and he was being very adamant that he did not touch anyone for those 6 years.
Yeah, and for the fact that he was so, like, this is what I did, and it was this one, I did this, and that, like, you know, being organized, why would he be more?
But also, why would he be inactive for 6 years? Like, did he have, like, someone there? Like,
as far as I read, there was no, like, relationships at any time during that, so it's not like he had a girlfriend and decided not to for a while or something, but. So, finally, on July 3rd, 1976, was his final victim. A neighbor to Kroll had approached Kroll and asked him if he knew what was clogging the building's shared restroom. Kroll replied with a straight face, "Guts." To which the neighbor laughed. He thought Kroll was joking. I mean, right?
Or maybe he thought he was, like, referring to using
the restroom?
Yeah, but didn't want to say it grossly, so.
The police were informed about the clogged pipe during a visit that they had done to that building because they were searching for a 4-year-old Marion Ketter who had gone missing the day before. So they were going door to door asking if anyone had seen her and knew what happened, and the neighbor mentioned, I don't know, but can you do something about the pipes? When they entered Kroll's apartment, the police were greeted with Marion's dismembered body. They found parts of her in the fridge, a hand cooking on the stove, and later they found her liver, heart, and kidneys in the plumbing.
Did they just go in like unannounced, or did he let them in?
So they literally, they did go check out the clogged pipes after the neighbor talked to them. And when they looked down there, they literally saw like her kidneys and stuff.
Oh, were they, were like whole?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So that's when the neighbor mentioned that, was like, oh, he was joking about guts. So they went to his apartment and that's when they found her body.
Was he there or did they just bust down the door?
I believe he was there.
Did he maybe admit to all his crimes so he wouldn't get, like, the death sentence, or...?
So, actually, that's the next thing I was going to get to. After they arrested him, he confessed all of these things, and he confessed them very easily because he believed that he was getting some kind of miracle surgery to fix him.
So maybe he didn't want to, like, be like that? That's why he did that 6-year period of not...?
Maybe. I'm guessing he didn't want to be like that because he believed that they were going to fix him of all these desires and things. He confessed to 13 murders and the 1 attempted murder. He couldn't remember the names of his victims, but he remembered times, places, and police would even take him to different areas and he would stop and say that he killed someone there. They'd walk around with him, and he'd stop and be like, oh, yeah, this is the place.
That was part of those 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, like, after he'd stop and tell them, the police would then go back and check records to see if they had, like, any reporting of anything. And sure enough, there was, like, that they found a body there or something. So his, like, story is checked out. So there is even, like, an image of him, like, kind of over, like, a police officer because he would, like, do demonstrations for them about how he, like, attacked these people.
So this is, like, way past his 700 or 76, his IQ?
Yeah.
What you said at the beginning, this is, like, he doesn't even, like, seem like he's got any...
Yeah. So then the police asked him why he would take pieces of his victims, of some of his victims. And he simply replied, quote, meat was expensive, unquote.
A person's life is priceless.
Yeah.
According to him, he literally took chunks of them because the meat was expensive and he was struggling, I guess.
Eat a salad.
Right? Yeah. According to a lot of the articles that I read, he was able to evade the police for so long because he didn't take pieces of all of his victims, so the MO was different, I guess. And apparently, there was more than one murderer loose at the time.
I think there's murderers loose at multiple murderers loose. Yeah, always.
Yeah, but apparently that's why they couldn't connect it all. His trial lasted 151 days, and he was convicted of 8 murders, 1 attempted murder. He was sentenced to 9 consecutive life sentences, but later in 1991, he died of a heart attack.
Wait, didn't he kill... He killed more than 8 people.
13.
Yeah.
But there was at least 3 of them that we mentioned that they couldn't charge him for due to lack of evidence.
Were they confined bodies?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yep. So after 20 years, all those men being unjustly arrested, some of them who took their own lives because of things that he did, the Roar Cannibal was finally stopped. 20 years that he ran around terrorizing the region. That's the conundrum for this week, guys, and I'm very sorry because it is slightly disturbing.
Yeah, that's like turn you into an alcoholic, and I don't like drinking. Yeah, I know there wasn't too much information on the victims, but I would assume that they're probably all smaller. Like, I know some of them were really young, but still, like, that's, yeah, they gave me the forecast.
We'll have the link up. There's a website where I got some of my information on the victims that has, like, a list of each of the victims. They have pictures, although they are black and white and very grainy, so you can't really make them out. But it tells you, like, what day they were killed on, what day they were found, like, what city they were found in. So I did make, like, a little map of where he kind of traveled to for all these victims, so you can see where his line of travel was. But we'll have that up on the website. Again, like I said, this story was mostly all in German, so my translations might be off a little bit. Don't kill me for it, okay? But, yeah, any other comments, guys?
I don't think they'll kill you, they'll just cyberbully you.
Yeah, we already have a couple of those. Just kidding, we love you. If you're cyberbullying, have a drink. It's last call, guys. We managed to have one whole drink in a very disturbing story that has made us want a second one. That was it for this week, so we'll catch you guys next week. Don't forget to follow us on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, like and subscribe, and don't forget to turn on your notifications. Remember to stay suspicious,
stay strong, stay savvy.
Good night.